This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, June 27th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures slide and stocks in China extend their bear market decline.
Donald Trump signals he favors less confrontation with China on technology.
Crude oil trades near $71 a barrel as the U.S. presses allies to halt imports of Iranian crude.
It's a stunning upset in New York's primary, and it came on the Democratic side of the aisle. Plus, a federal judge has ruled on reuniting immigrant children. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
Baseball, things stay tight atop the AL East. World Cup, Argentina stays alive as Messi gets going. And the Wizards and Clippers work out a trade. I'm Pete Fox. Those stories and more coming up in Bloomberg Sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Harvard Business School, partnering with global companies to equip leaders with the strategic skills, global vision, and confidence to tackle complex issues and continually reshape their businesses.
It is 5:01 on Wall Street. Stocks are coming under increasing pressure as traders grapple with escalating global trade tension between the world's biggest economic powers. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 22 points this morning. Dow futures down 213. NASDAQ futures down 87. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%. FTSE 100 down 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.8%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32nds, yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 20 cents to $70.73 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% on $1.90 to $12.58 an ounce. The euro, $1.1625, the yen, 109.77. And this data check brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Bob.
So the stock sell-off in China continues. Let's get more on that from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Bob and Karen, the Shanghai Composite closed down by more than 1%, extending its move into bear market territory, which was reached during Tuesday's session. A weaker yuan, coupled with ongoing concerns about the U.S.-China trade relationship, pushed Chinese stocks listed on the mainland and in Hong Kong lower, with airlines and property developers hardest hit. The offshore yuan posted its longest losing streak in 4 years in Hong Kong. But equity benchmarks in Tokyo ended little changed after swinging between gains and losses while the yen climbed. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Juliet. We turn to the latest on trade tensions between the U.S. and China. President Donald Trump is signaling he may take a less confrontational path toward curbing Chinese investments on technology. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Mr. Trump made remarks at the White House that appeared to align with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin's more measured approach over how to protect U.S. intellectual property from China.
We have the greatest technology in the world. People copy it and they steal it. But we have the great scientists, we have the great brains, and we have to protect that. And we're going to protect it. And that's what we were doing. And that can be done. We have a lot of things we can do it through.
Trump added that can be done through CFIUS. Administration officials have disagreed over how to limit the Chinese investments in U.S. technology. Mnuchin favors using CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., which reviews foreign acquisitions of U.S. companies for national security risks. Others favor a more aggressive approach, declaring an economic emergency. Reports that the U.S. was considering the more extreme unilateral measure against China rattled markets, sending stocks in the U.S. and Asia tumbling on Monday. Bob and Karen.
Thanks, Sean. Big Oil is speaking out, meantime, about President Trump's trade policy. We get details from Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti.
Top executives from ExxonMobil, Chevron, and Total all took shots at Trump's trade plans at the World Gas Conference in Washington. They expressed concern that U.S. tariffs are a risk to oil and gas demand, and that restrictions on importing steel could impede one of the country's fastest-growing major industries. The common thread, restricting trade hurts investor confidence, risking major energy projects from shale pipelines to gas export terminals. It's a reversal from 6 months ago, ago when Big Oil was singing Trump's praises for slashing corporate taxes. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Gina, thank you. Donald Trump garnered more votes from Louisianans in 2016 than any other presidential candidate in history. But Louisiana's resilience on trade makes it a unique microcosm of how the tariff battle will affect America. Katya Dimitrieva wrote the story for Bloomberg News.
We also found that it would be a big hit on the companies that are most supportive of Donald Trump. So everything from steel companies, pipe welders, ports, the actual people who are boarding these ships and boarding the product onto the ships and the port districts and the warehouses, and the impact travels from the port to the rails, to the trucks, and out to the rest of the U.S. economy. So it's just a snapshot of what these trade tariffs could mean for the rest of the U.S.
Bloomberg's Katya Dimitrieva. According to the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, a trade war would slow total economic output in Louisiana by a minimum of 7% over 5 years. That's the most of any state.
Oil is trading at its highest level in a month as the risk of a supply crunch continues to haunt markets. A U.S. demand that Iran's customers halt their imports, overshadowing Saudi Arabia's promise to boost output, checking oil right now. WTI is up 0.2% to $70.67. Brent crude is virtually unchanged now at 76.29.
In Europe, the Bank of England publishes its biannual financial stability report in less than 30 minutes. Sebastian Salek joins us now from London with a look at what to expect. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Yeah, looking for commentary on a wide range of issues, Brexit, of course, but also the housing market and commercial real estate as well. The countercyclical capital buffer, that's due to go up in November, plus anything on cryptocurrencies. Mark Carney, the governor, is also likely to be asked about last week's Bank of England interest rate decision, where we saw the chief economist, Andy Haldane, unexpectedly backing an interest rate hike, which led to a 6-3 split rather than the expected 7-2. The market now pricing in a 59% chance of a hike in August. The pound down by about 0.25%. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. And futures are lower straight ahead. The latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. A surprise in last night's election returns. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Longtime Representative Joe Crowley was dealt a stunning upset in New York's Democratic primary last night. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who previously worked as an organizer for Senator Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, won the Democratic nomination for Crowley's district covering Queens and part of the Bronx. The 28-year-old Democratic congressional nominee talked about her stunning win to CBS.
I think that it means that we need to be expanding what we are listening to in terms of advocacy for working-class Americans, people of color, and more.
Ocasio-Cortez won 57.5% to Crowley at 42.5%. Also in New York, Republican Representative Dan Donovan decisively beat back a challenge from former congressman and ex-convict Michael Grimm with the help of an endorsement from President Donald Trump. Donovan won 63.9% to Grimm at 36.1%. Donovan during his victory speech on Staten Island.
We need to hold on to this majority in the House, because all Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters are talking about is taking over the House and impeaching our president. We cannot let that happen.
Donovan faces Democratic primary winner Max Rose in November. President Trump also strongly endorsed South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, who won the Republican nomination in the state's gubernatorial runoff.
Just since I've been in office, I've announced $6 billion in investment and almost 21,000 jobs. That is a record, and it's getting stronger and stronger every day. We're going to keep on doing that. As President Trump says, we're going to keep on winning, winning, winning in South Carolina.
As expected, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney easily won his Utah Senate primary.
We also welcome immigrants and refugees who come here legally. They add to the vitality of our great country.
The former GOP presidential nominee will now face Democrat Jenny Wilson in the fall. A federal judge in California ordered the Trump administration to reunite immigrant children who were separated from their families at the U.S. border crossings no later than 30 days. The judge also ruled to refrain from detaining parents without their children. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thanks, Michael. Now, 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And here's Pete Fox.
Thanks, Bob. Yankees maintain that half-game lead in the AL East with a 6-0 win over the Philadelphia Phillies. Severino got the win. He's now 12-2. He went 7 innings, gave up no runs, and comes away with a 2.1 ERA. Aaron Boone.
Well, I mean, we always want to start well, but we're going to be, you know, aggressive in the strike zone. He's very good at moving the ball. You know, all his different pitches have good movement on it. So, you know, the challenge is keeping him on the plate. I thought we did a pretty good job of that. We took advantage of a mistake they made behind him and added some more runs. And then the guys kept adding on a little bit, which made it nice.
Aaron Hicks got the scoring started with a solo home run.
And Arrieta deals, swung on and hit in the air to center field and deep. Herrera back on the track. He's at the wall. Hatchett is gone. Just a little bit right of dead center. Hicks hits one to the sticks. And the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
Mets with a nice win. They needed 10 innings to get it done. Walking off the Pirates 4-3, Wilmer Flores, the game-winning hit.
Waiting on an 0-1 from the lefty, Brault. Here it is. Swing, it's lined on the chalk line. Fair ball. It's the rolled-up tarpaulin. Here comes Conforto. That's for you, Sandy. The Mets have won it. They walk it off 4-3.
And scores from the pitch. World Cup action went like this. Peru, a 2-0 win over Australia. Denmark and France played the first 0-0 draw of the tournament. Croatia beats Iceland 2-1, and Argentina stays alive. Messi a goal and a 2-1 win over Nigeria. I'm Pete Fox. That's your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Bob?
Pete, thank you. S&P futures currently down 18 points. That is 0.2%. The 10-year yield at 2.8456%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are coming under increasing pressure as traders grapple with escalating global trade tensions between the world's biggest economic powers. Oil building on gains after the U.S. stepped up pressure on Iran. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 15 points, Dow futures down 165, NASDAQ futures down 67. The DAX in Germany's down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 0.8, yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 29 cents to $70.82 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% on $1.90 to $12.58 an ounce. The euro, $1.1635, the yen, 109.84. At 8:30 Wall Street time, we get a report on wholesale inventories and durable goods orders. Pending home sales is out at 10. And General Mills among companies scheduled to report earnings this morning. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. It is a major upset in New York's Democratic primary. 10-term Representative Joseph Crowley has been defeated by a 28-year-old challenger, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a political novice running on a low-budget and liberal platform, won a surprise victory in a district that includes parts of the Bronx and Queens. Ocasio-Cortez won 57.5% to Crowley at 42.5%. Elsewhere on a packed primary election night, President Trump's endorsement weighed in two high-profile wins for Governor Henry McMaster in South Carolina in his primary runoff and Representative Dan Donovan in a Staten Island-based U.S. House district. Mitt Romney easily won his Utah Senate Republican primary. A federal judge in California ordered that U.S. border authorities have 30 days to reunite immigrant families separated after illegally entering the U.S. from Mexico. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners along with the Red Sox, A's, and Giants. The Nationals lost along with the Orioles. In the World Cup, Peru, Argentina, and Croatia were all winners. Denmark and France ended in a 0-0 draw. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is coming up on 520 on Wall Street. You need something of a flow chart to track the Trump administration's trade plans these days. The latest, President Trump signals he favors less confrontation with China on technology. At the same time, the administration is vowing to take action against unjustified tariffs, while Canada is said to be preparing new measures to prevent a potential flood of steel imports coming from global producers maneuvering to avoid U.S. tariffs. We're joined now by Lena Komaleva, Chief Economist for G-Plus Economics. Good morning and welcome. Stock investors are now finding these trade tensions hard to ignore. At what point do they become a drag on the global economy?
Good morning, Bob. Yes, you're absolutely right. The markets are paying more attention to the signs of escalating trade tensions globally. I think that it is clear at this point that this is a policy error that will hurt the prospects for international trade growth and the contribution that we've seen from international trade for the expansion of major economies. This may not be felt in the immediate future in terms of the GDP altitude of reported figures out of the US or China. But what we're looking here is not a short-term deterioration. What we're looking here is a wholesale darkening of the international economic climate, which will be difficult to roll back. I think this is the key point here. As we saw from the collapsed G7 meeting earlier this month and the escalating deterioration of economic relations between the U.S. and China, where there's no political cohesion, there can be no economic cooperation, and this is what deglobalization is made of. I think the protectionism that we're looking at here is way more complex than just the sum total of the traditional tariff models, because we're talking about international supply chains and the collapse of a multilateral international system of economic relationships, which companies are only now beginning to start to navigate at a high cost.
You can't help but notice the Chinese currency has been dropping in value. Is that attributable to the fundamentals, or is China maybe weaponizing its currency given the current trade tensions?
I would say that China is weaponizing, because the Chinese authorities have demonstrated their remarkable ability to manage their exchange rate in recent years, even in the face of concerns about the high indebtedness of Chinese corporates, particularly state-owned enterprises and exposure to real estate bubbles in the mainland. And, of course, the capital flight problems with concerns that the only way that China can recapitalize its banking system and wipe off this non-performing loans that are clogging up the credit supply chain, which will be needed, I think, in order to rebalance the Chinese growth model in favor of domestic demand, will have to happen through China expanding its reserves, and that means a weaker exchange rate. I think in the short term, I'm not surprised that China would use financial pressure, because while, of course, White House actions on trade are hurting China's ambitions to develop into a higher income country with a certain stature in the world in terms of high growth, high productivity, high tech technologies in industries. In the short term, China is the biggest holder of U.S. treasuries. The value of the international value of the U.S. dollar is very much a function of how China manages its currency, given its strong stance, international capital and trade flows. And that means that the only way that China can really put pressure on the political duration, if you like, of the Trump trade, of trying to extract economic benefits by putting pressure, by punishing China and humiliating China's economic policies as publicly as it has done in recent weeks through the tariffs, through the criticisms. I think the question now is, will it work and will it bring negotiation to the table?
Less than a half minute left here. It seems the administration ratchets up, ratchets down, and China's Ministry of Commerce says it's watching closely. Are they watching for President Trump to blink?
I think that very much this is a game of chicken, and it's a question of who blinks. I think the best case scenario for the markets here is that enough economic damage has been inflicted or threatened to be inflicted on both sides for both sides to now agree that it's time for some grown-up negotiations. Mind you, we have been here for the best part of the last 12 months. The U.S. administration has tried various ways of talking to the Chinese authorities. The question now is, is China prepared to offer something that Trump can bring to his constituents at home as a victory.
Okay. Lena Komuleva, Chief Economist for G Plus Economics. Thanks for your insights this morning. S&P futures at this hour down 15 points. That is 0.5%. The 10-year yield, 2.8474%. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world as trade tensions linger. Dow futures are down more than 140 points. Stocks in China extend their bear market decline. The Shanghai Composite Index dropped more than 1%. And in Europe, the Stock 600 Index is trading at a two-month low.
Deutsche Bank slid to a record intraday low, dragging European banks to levels not seen since December 2016. The German lender is the worst sector performer this year. It's down 2.4%.
President Donald Trump did signal he may take a less confrontational path toward curbing Chinese investments in sensitive American technologies, potentially relying on a U.S. committee that scrutinizes foreign acquisitions for national security risks.
Wall Street awaits a bevy of economic data today on U.S. trade, manufacturing, and housing. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dell-Giudice reports.
Economists say the merchandise trade deficit probably widened a bit in May to about $69 billion. Trade is a hot potato. White House policy is weighing on the economic outlook, with tariffs adding to the cost of imports. Manufacturers are bearing some of the cost. Factory orders for durable goods probably declined in May for the third time this year. Higher mortgage rates, meantime, are weighing on the property market. Pending home sales probably edged higher in May after dropping in April by more than 1%. Vinnie Dell-Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. UK house price growth has slowed to the weakest pace in 5 years, while London values are falling. Nationwide's monthly report showed UK prices rose 2% in June from a year earlier, down from 2.4% in May.
The Bank of Spain says the Spanish economy probably grew 0.7% in the second quarter amid signs consumer demand may be starting to falter as prices rise.
Oil is trading at its highest level in a month as the risk of a supply crunch continues to haunt markets. A U.S. demand that Iran's customers halt their imports, overshadowing Saudi Arabia's promise to boost output. In checking oil right now, in New York, NYMEX crude is up 0.8% at $71.13. Brent crude is up 0.4% to $76.60.
And futures are lower. S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 138, NASDAQ futures down 57. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. And COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.40. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. We have an upset to tell you about in New York's Democratic primary. Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us now with news of a new contender for Congress.
Thank you very much, Bob. She was a Bernie Sanders campaign organizer who ran on this message.
This race is about people versus money. We've got people. They've got money.
In a stunning victory in New York's Democratic primary, 10-term Congressman Joe Crowley, who was seen as a possible successor to Nancy Pelosi, lost. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is 28, beat Crowley 57.5% to 42.5%. With President Trump's support, New York Congressman Dan Donovan fended off a Republican primary challenge from former Congressman Michael Grimm, who resigned to serve prison time for tax fraud. Grimm vowed to support Donovan.
Our opponent in this race, in a primary, was never our enemy. So, we're going to support the Republican nominee. We're going to support Dan Donovan, and we're going to make sure we beat the Democrats in November.
Donovan won 63.9% to Grimm at 36.1%. Donovan faces Democratic primary winner Max Rose in the November general election. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney is a step closer to becoming a U.S. senator after winning his primary battle in Utah.
We prize education and rigorous debate. And we expect the people who are our leaders to carry out these debates with civility and dignity.
The former Massachusetts governor will face Democrat Jenny Wilson in the fall. In other notable races in Maryland, former NAACP President Benjamin Jealous won the Democratic gubernatorial primary. Jealous will face GOP Governor Larry Hogan. And Boulder area Congressman Jared Polis won the Democratic nomination for governor in Colorado. Polis faces Republican State Treasurer Walker Stapleton. A federal judge in California has ordered U.S. border authorities to reunite separated families within 30 days. If the children are younger than five, they must be reunified within 14 days of the order. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Appreciate it, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. And here's Pete Fox.
Thanks, Bob. Mets with a nice walk-off win, snapping a seven-game losing streak. Wilmer Flores knocked in the game-winner in the 10th.
Waiting on an 0-1 from the lefty, Brault. Here it is. Swing, it's lined on the chalk line. Fair ball. It's the rolled-up Tarplin. Here comes Conforto. That's for you, Sandy. The Mets have won it. They walk it off 4-3.
Manager Mickey Callaway.
You know, obviously he's a great hitter, but he has a shorter swing than most. And when you're in those situations where the game's on the line, you know, guys are trying to get you to chase. And when he doesn't chase and they have to get the ball up or they hang a breaking ball or something, he's short and quick to the ball and he doesn't miss it.
In Philadelphia, strong outing for Luis Severino. He went seven, gave up just six hits, allowing no runs while striking out nine Phils. In a 6-0 win, he's now 12-2. Manager Aaron Boone.
Well, I mean, we always want to start well, but we're going to be, you know, aggressive in the strike zone. He's very good at moving the ball. You know, all his different pitches have good movement on it. So, you know, the challenge is keeping him on the plate. I thought we did a pretty good job of that. We took advantage of a mistake they made behind him and added some more runs. And then the guys kept adding on a little bit, which made it nice.
And on the pitch, World Cup action, Argentina stays alive. Messi with a goal in a 2-1 win over Nigeria. Croatia beat Iceland by the same score. Denmark and France played to the first 0-0 draw of the tournament, and Peru posts a 2-0 win over Australia. As for today's action, Mexico will face Sweden, Germany takes on South Korea, Brazil locks up with Serbia, and Switzerland battles Costa Rica. I'm Pete Fox, that's your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Bob?
Pete, thanks very much. Now 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with our cover story, how reports of Nintendo's death have been greatly exaggerated. Also in this week's issue, opening remarks from Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief Emeritus Matt Winkler on how Brexit imperils the UK was created by Thatcher's Big Bang.
There was a hustle and bustle about the country that came out of Big Bang, and it was because... What? Really, yeah. London was saying, we are going to engage the world to the greatest extent possible. And it was setting an example, actually, for the rest of the world.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for your Tri-State Business Report. And our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. A record 10.7% of all New York City condos that sold last year were listed by their owners as rentals within months after closing. Investors, undeterred by the city's flagging rents, are adding residential real estate to their portfolios on a bet the property's underlying value has nowhere to go but up. Well, the Royal Jelly Rock and Roll Burlesque Club was one of the things that went right among many things that did not go well at Atlantic City's former Revel Casino. Well, the club and the dancers are all coming back this week as the place resurfaces tomorrow with the reopening of the former Revel as the Ocean Resort Casino. Well, in Stratford, Connecticut, there are four craft breweries within a five-mile radius. A fifth is coming, but as the Boston Globe reports, this one's different. Athletic Brewing is a one-of-a-kind on the East Coast, only the third of its type in the whole country. That's because the brewery makes only non-alcoholic craft beers. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Khoury. Bob?
Ed, thanks very much. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Bain Capital is said to be telling investors that cheerleading outfitter Varsity Brands could be a good IPO candidate.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about the NTSB report on the battery fire in a fatal Tesla crash.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the strings attached as Uber wins a 15-month license to operate in the UK capital.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that Cargill is among those expressing interest in a McDonald's supplier.
I'm Ed Khoury. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting the Alliance of Auto Manufacturers says the president's auto import tariffs could cost $45 billion annually.
Thank you all, and those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. S&P futures down 12 points. This is Daybreak. You can follow news 24/7 streaming live on Twitter. Check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network built for Twitter. That's TikTok at TikTok, TICTOC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are moving lower this morning. S&P futures are down 12 points, Dow futures down 141, NASDAQ futures down about 57. The DAX in Germany is down a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 8/32nds, yield 2.84%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8%, up 59 cents to $71.12 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $12.5970 an ounce. The euro, $1.1634, the yen, 109.87. At 8:30 Wall Street time, we get a report on wholesale inventories and durable goods orders. Pending home sales out at 10 today, and General Mills is among companies scheduled to report earnings. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, U.S. Representative Joseph Crowley has been defeated by a 28-year-old Bernie Sanders supporter in the Democratic congressional primary in New York. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, in her first campaign for Congress, won an upset victory in a district that includes parts of the Bronx and Queens. Ocasio-Cortez got 57.5% of the vote compared to Crowley at 42.5%. Crowley had been considered a candidate to become the next House Speaker if Democrats win the majority. Also in New York, Representative Dan Donovan, who was backed by President Trump, won. South Carolina Governor Dan Donovan, who was also backed by Trump, won his Republican gubernatorial runoff election. In Maryland, incumbent Democratic Senator Ben Cardin advances to the general election in the Senate race, topping a field that included former Army private Chelsea Manning, convicted for disclosing classified government documents to WikiLeaks. Troy Campbell won the Republican Senate primary. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners along with the Red Sox, A's, and Giants. The Nationals and Orioles lost. In the World Cup, Peru, Argentina, and Croatia were all winners. Denmark and France ended in a tie. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Clock just ticked over to 5:49, and that is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London bureau. Good morning, Ed. You've got an item that takes a look at some worry over risks posed by exchange-traded funds that might even spark the next crisis?
Yes, indeed. Banks must bear much of the blame for previous financial crises, but in the next one, ordinary investors could play a much more central role. And the mechanism here is the ETF. These are listed funds that are passive by nature, designed to track the performance of an index of stocks rather than pick and choose among individual companies. These have become hugely popular in recent years. It's easy to see why. They're theoretically diversified and have consistently outperformed more expensive active managers. But they are riskier than many investors appreciate, according to my colleague Satya Das. Funds have no choice but to load up on stocks that are, they are already overweight. These are the cap-weighted indexes. And they have to neglect those stocks that are already underweight. And as prices have risen, investors may become overexposed to a few large securities like big tech stocks, which now dominate major indexes. ETFs can also replicate indexes in very complicated ways. Some use a fund subset and expose investors to tracking error. Others use derivatives. These are all areas of concern. And worse, the ways in which ETFs, which by their design and their sheer size are warping markets, isn't well understood. They encourage concentration in a few large, liquid, large cap stocks, creating homogenous and momentum following markets. Now, we don't know how this will all play out in a downturn.
And just when OPEC thinks it might be safe to go back into more production, President Donald Trump lights a fire under oil that the Saudis can't douse.
Yes, U.S. sanctions on Iran are going to test global production limits. Now, you may remember that the U.S. is pressing allies to completely halt their purchases of Iranian oil by November the 4th. Now, Trump's lack of concern about the likely collateral damage from the sanctions on Iran means that the latest curbs on the country's oil exports are going to be much more tougher than the originals. It's all or nothing this time round. There are going to be no waivers like you had under the Obama administration. Anyone buying Iranian crude by November can expect to be shut out of the US banking system. And that, as Iran's oil minister pointed out, has meant that oil companies have stopped buying the country's oil. He doesn't expect buyers will be able to get waivers from the US that would let them even go on purchasing cargoes. Even if China does go on buying, sanctions compliance by the rest of Iran's buyers would cut exports of crude and concentrate by about 2 million barrels a day. And that's going to be a very tough hole to fill here. A couple of reasons. Libya's oil production has fallen by 400,000 barrels a day. 350,000 barrels a day has been lost in Canada after a transformer blew up at an oil plant. And it's easier then to see another million barrels a day of outages that need to be offset. Saudi's oil minister has been at pains to assure us that others will make up the gap and fill the gap. But this may not be enough. Expect the Energy Department to start dusting off plans to release crude from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and pray that the hurricane season is a mild one.
And briefly, tax and spend is the new game in Brexit Britain, where political risks keep growing.
Yes. For now, Chancellor of the Exchequer Philip Hammond and Bank of England Governor Mark Carney have the markets on their side, but political risks are growing. They have survived all the mudslinging by Brexiteers, a faltering economy, but things are about to get trickier for these pragmatists, and this has to be a risk for UK asset values. Last week, Hammond's Conservative Party really became the party of tax and spend. For the first time in a generation, extra £20 billion of a year of spending for the National Health Service. Meanwhile, the Bank of England's shifting ever closer to a rate hike at a time when Brexit and trade tariffs threaten growth. That this happened without any real moves in UK bond yields or the pound suggests the markets still believe that the Hammond-Carney double act is credible and in control, but that may be under risk in future.
Edward Evans in London, thank you. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing OPIN Go. Karen.
Well, it's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The new postcard-style income tax form planned for release this week may meet the administration's promise of a smaller form, but skepticism remains whether it is a meaningful step toward simplification. Lawmakers expect states to mirror South Dakota's tax regime after the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling to allow states to collect online sales taxes. And the Congressional Budget Office says Phase 2 tax legislation would add to the U.S.'s already staggering federal debt.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need. All on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's take a look at the Supreme Court's decision to uphold President Trump's controversial travel ban. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr.
Greg, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote for the majority. Tell us about the essence of his opinion.
Hi, June. Yeah, the essence of his decision is, notwithstanding claims that he made discriminatory comments toward Muslims in the campaign and after he became president, he said, we generally afford the president very broad discretion in dealing with these questions about who can come into the country. This was a policy that went through multiple agencies. It has a lot of detail in it, and we are going to defer to the president in this area because it is generally an area where Congress wants the president to decide, and we want to defer in terms of what he thinks about the national security interests of the country.
Justice Stephen Breyer and Sonia Sotomayor read their dissents from the bench, which is rare. And I understand that Justice Sotomayor was, some said, furious.
Yeah, she is both in her words on the bench and in the opinion itself. She was very pointed. She likened the decision to the 1944 Korematsu decision, where the Supreme Court upheld the government's policy of interning Japanese Americans during World War II. She talked about all the individual people that this policy will harm, in her view. Interestingly, it was a dissent that was joined only by one other justice. That was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Justices Breyer and Kagan dissented on different and somewhat less pointed grounds.
You mentioned the Korematsu decision and the dissenters comparing that to Trump's policy. Chief Justice Roberts took umbrage at that, to say the least. Tell us what he said about that.
Yeah, so he said that that the two things are not the same. Essentially, he said Korematsu was a morally repugnant order. He said it's not like this, which is a neutral policy that just denies some people the privilege of coming into the country. He also said, he essentially said, now that you mention Korematsu, which has never formally been overruled, he said that decision was gravely wrong the day it was decided and has no place in the law under the Constitution.
That's Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures are down 9 points this morning. Dow futures down 119, NASDAQ futures down 49, and the 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds, yield 2.85%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.